was there.
Now, is she the birthday of the school now, or do you guys do her?
She is. She just finished her first meeting.
Okay.
We talked about making desserts together with family, outdoors, and we'll put them on.
Like radiant diamonds bursting inside of him. He cannot contain. Your love will surely find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sing the mind. I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. Peace, hallelujah. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're excited to be here together and excited to worship God and hope that this will be a time for you to dive into His Word, to grow closer to Him, and to help others do the same. And as we begin today, I want to give you a couple of announcements. Just a reminder, in case you didn't know, that Thanksgiving is this week. And so we will not have Wednesday night Bible study for adults or for children or youth. So we encourage you to take that time and spend it with your family and enjoy the opportunity just to take a break from the busyness of life and just enjoy each other's company. We also want to remind you of an upcoming opportunity for you to give to others in need through the Angel Tree Toy Ministry with the Flat River Baptist Association. And we'll be collecting toys or you can give financially to purchase toys or boxes that can be given out to families in need. And that'll be a ministry that the Flat River Baptist Association does, where families can come in and kind of shop for their kids and their children and give gifts at a time where they may not be able to afford to do so. So we encourage you to give to that program and that opportunity, and if you can, have those in here to the church by December 13th. And as we continue with worship, I want to read a passage of scripture and from the book of Psalm, chapter 95, verses 6 and 7. God's word says this: "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." If you will, please join me in praying. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come together. Thank you for this time to hear your word being presented today. Be with Pastor Eric as he presents that, help him to do so faithfully and truthfully. And Lord, help us to listen to you and to follow your commands and your direction for each one of us, and to share what we hear, share what we learn to those around us. In your name I pray. Amen.
For the joy of human love.
Sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 7, verse 17.
Good morning. Thank you. Oh. Sorry. Thank you for being with us today. This morning we got to use a new tool in our outdoor service. We acquired an FM transmitter that we're using in our outdoor service so that whenever we've got inclement weather, whether it's rain or it just gets really cold and people don't want to have their windows rolled down to listen to the speakers that we're using, they can just tune in on their radios. And we tested that earlier this week. We went out and on Thursday, they had the system playing. And one of the things we wanted to test was whether the system was strong enough for if we ever got so big that we needed to use the bottom lot for overflow parking, that we could do that. That we could do that way and have the cars parked down below and still hear the signal. And so I drove my car down here, and sure enough, the signal was really strong. It worked great. I thought to myself, well, I wonder how far it goes. So then I went out the parking lot down here and on Lion Street, went down to North, and I could still hear the transmission from over at the Academy. There's a couple times it cut out just a little bit, but you could still understand it pretty well. I went another block, and by that point, it was really enough static that you really couldn't get much out of it. But it was great to test out the system and know that it worked how we hoped it would. It was strong enough to cover the parking lot and cover down the lower parking lot and even a little bit farther than that. The signal was loud and clear everywhere. It felt great to know that something worked like it should and like we hoped it would. I think we all like it when things go how we want it to go. If I had my choice, I would live in a world where everything goes from good to better. From moments of comfortable existence to spikes of fun and excitement, where there was no stress and no worry, life would be full of interesting opportunities that would be ways that I could grow. Instead of how it usually is for me, that growth comes from struggle, pain, and other challenges. It'd be nice if it was just from fun stuff, right? Work would be a combination of productive times, highlighted by times of feeling really fulfilled, rewarding social interactions with coworkers and friends, and partners in meaningful ministry. And there would be no unproductive days. There would be no need to deal with putting out fires. No need for me to adjust the way I do things because I need to improve in some way as a pastor or as a boss or anything like that. Going home would be going home to family full of joy. Only what it would be only the joy of seeing the people I love, getting to rest, times of laughter and fun, and of eating great food, right? There'd be no need to deal with the list of home improvement tasks and repairs that you have to deal with when you have a home, and there'd be no need to deal with sibling rivalry and strife, no need to worry about bills. The dishes would take care of themselves somehow mysteriously after every meal, and my clothes would always end up in the hamper at the end of the day. That's not reality, though. Reality for me and for us is that things are far from ideal. Life is full of difficulties, both great and small. Difficult times are a part of life. Difficult times are a part of life. That's just reality. Now, we all knew that already, and then 2020 happened. And all that went to a whole new level of difficulty. Just over 8 months ago, it seemed that everything in our lives changed. What had started last winter as just another regular cold and flu season, where you're thinking about, okay, should I get the flu shot this year? How effective is it? What, you know, usually they figure out what flu it is, starts out somewhere in Asia, and it goes around the world. And sure enough, we saw something come up in Asia, in China, and then it was like, oh, there's an epidemic in China. Oh, now it's in one or two other countries. And went from that to a pandemic where it went to every country and every continent on Earth. Hopes of containment, control, and a quick resolution to this new virus only gave way to a reality that of a disease that seemed to pop up in unexpected places. It resisted our feeble efforts to limit its spread, which seemed to persist even after the weather warmed up. Summer came and went, and we were still dealing with the virus. And we still are back in a new fall going into winter with the virus as strong as ever. Businesses, schools, governments, churches, every aspect of life has had to adjust and readjust to the ongoing changes that are local, statewide, national, and worldwide. And we continue to have to readjust, right? And in the midst of all this, we're coming up to a holiday that focuses on being thankful. And sometimes it takes effort to change our outlook on things in order to find things to be thankful for. But I've been encouraged as I've had conversation after conversation with different people where they are finding things to be thankful for in spite of the hardships. But when things are difficult, it takes effort to change our outlook in order to find things to be thankful for. When things are difficult, it takes effort to change our outlook in order to find things to be thankful for. Now, one of the ways that we change our perspective and refocus our minds is by remembering and repeating what the Bible says about who God is and about his character and his attitude towards his people. This is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to be spending time in Scripture, reading and sometimes memorizing the Word of God, so that we are, when we come to a time of need, we can remember the things that the Bible says. We can be reminded of the truth that it speaks against the false ideas and feelings that we might have when we're going through a difficult time. An example of this is Psalm 100. If you have your Bibles with you today, please open up to Psalm 100 and read with me. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. Psalm 100 starts this way. It says, "A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, sing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Let us pray. Father God, as we come to you this morning, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving week, we ask that you would help us to cling to the truth in this passage and the truths in your word that remind us of who you are, of your character, and of your relationship towards your people. And Lord, that we would enter into a time of thankfulness that lasts not only during this week and the days after, but that remains with us for the rest of the year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I read this passage earlier this week, it seemed that maybe the person the psalmist was writing to was somebody whose life was already going pretty well, who's already in a good place. But then I thought about it some more, and I looked at it more carefully, and I realized that that's not necessarily the case. This passage starts out with a list of commands. It says, shout, worship, come, acknowledge. It doesn't say, oh, if you feel blessed, then worship God. Or if you are happy, then be thankful to God. Or it doesn't say if you're successful or if you feel fulfilled, then do these things. No, instead, it commands us to shout, to worship, to come to God with joy and gladness. And the reason that we do this is because we acknowledge who God is. And also we acknowledge who we are. Verse says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It leads me to this thought, a right understanding of God and ourselves allows us to experience joy and gladness and thankfulness. A right understanding of God and of ourselves, it allows us to experience joy and gladness and thankfulness. It says, the Lord is God. To acknowledge that is to acknowledge all that is contained in that simple phrase. We don't have to try to guess what it means for the Lord to be God, because God describes himself and reveals himself in his word. If you want to read a passage where God describes himself and what he has done, go to the book of Job in chapter 38 and start reading. The first 37 chapters of Job and his friends have been talking about what has happened in Job's life. And there's some talk about who God is and their ideas about his character and how he does things and who he is. But until then, God has not spoken. But in chapter 38, God speaks and he reveals himself. Here's some of what he says in chapter 38. Where were you, he says in verse 4, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined his dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? And he goes on and he keeps talking about his power and his great and his creativity and what he's done. And he questions Job, who are you? Where were you when I did all these things? And so he continues. In Exodus chapter 34, you see Moses. Moses is interacting with God, and at one point, he's already had some conversations with God. I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. And he says, I'm gonna put you in the cleft of a rock, and you can't see my face because nobody can see my face and live. But as I walk by, then I'll uncover this. I'll take my hand off where you are, and you will see my back, and I will declare myself to you. And so that's the setting. It says in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord." The name, the Lord, Yahweh. "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation.'" God revealing who he is in that passage. His character. Jeremiah the prophet says this about God in chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. It says, "But the Lord made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretched out the heavens. When he speaks in the thunder, the heavens roar with rain. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from its storehouses." You can spend hours seeking out the passages in the Bible where it talks about God and his power and his wisdom, his love, his faithfulness, his holiness, all the other things that he is. And when the psalmist tells us in Psalm 100, acknowledge that the Lord is God, he's calling us to think of all of these things, of what it means for the Lord to be God. He's pointing our minds to the greatness and the wonder of God. And then in that mindset, to think about our relationship with him. Because it says in the next sentence, that God made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now in the Old Testament, when it talked about God's people, it meant the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, under the new covenant, the new agreement that Jesus established with humanity by his death on the cross, he gave his life for all of humanity. It's revealed to us that God's purpose was always for the Gentiles to be a part of his people, for us to be included as part of his inheritance when people put their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what we've been studying over the past couple of months when we were going through the book of Ephesians. We saw that this is one of the great mysteries that God had kept hidden until the right time, that the Gentiles were co-heirs. The great and mighty God that we've been pointed to made you and me, and he has called us his own. Wait, what? The creator of the universe? The one who made billions of galaxies, each galaxy with billions of stars, created me and created you, and he cares about us enough to call us his own, to adopt us as his children. How amazing is that? The fact that people who are followers of Jesus are God's people, that he cares for us, is a great truth for us to remember and lean into when we want to change our perspective and our attitude in life. Being a member of God's people and of his family means that our life is about much more than the temporary struggles and difficulties that are a part of our current reality. Our lives here on earth are just the starting point of an adventure that goes into eternity. And for believers, only the first 60 or 80 or 100 years of that time will require us to deal with suffering and pain. The rest of eternity is joy. It's fulfillment. It's amazement. It's worship. So focusing on the truths of the Bible helps us have that right perspective on life, to develop a thankful attitude in life. And as believers and followers of Jesus, this is important because thankfulness isn't just something that we're supposed to do once a year when Thanksgiving comes around. Thankfulness is something that's supposed to be a regular part of our lives, a normal part of our Christian life. We are commanded to give thanks to God. That is a normal part of our Christian life. day in and day out, we're commanded to give thanks to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Whatever you say or do. According to these verses in Colossians, whatever we do or say, we represent Jesus. So followers of Jesus, we don't get to put on and take off our Jesus representative hat. Depending on the day of the week or the activity that we're engaged in. So whether you're here on church on a Sunday, at a service, working your regular 9-to-5 job, dealing with a difficult customer, a service person on the phone, any other situation that you might find yourself with during the week, we are to approach it with an attitude of thankfulness to God and with the realization that we represent Jesus Christ. So the question becomes, how do we live this way? Because if we're honest, we don't have it in us to live consistently day in and day out with this attitude. We need the help of the God who asks us to do what he asks us to do, who commands us to live in the way that honors him. And thankfully, as believers, we have access to God. We have access to his power through the Holy Spirit that dwells within and lives within all believers. And because we have the Holy Spirit, thankfulness comes when we allow God's Spirit to fill us. Thankfulness comes when we allow God's Spirit to fill us. Ephesians 5:18-20, a passage that we looked at just a few weeks ago when we were going through the book of Ephesians, it says, "Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and work in us and through us, then we're able to live a life of thankfulness for everything. Wait, even in the midst of COVID? Yes. Even when you lose your job or your hours are cut? Yes. Even when my child or my grandchild has a lame first year of kindergarten or a last year of high school that's ruined by lockdowns and distance learning and all these kinds of things? Yes. Even when Thanksgiving isn't going to be like we usually do it, with family and friends and football in the yard and all the other things that we love about Thanksgiving? Yes, even then. Being thankful for everything doesn't mean you have to pretend that you like something that's difficult, or that you call something good that isn't good. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you suddenly realize that even from the most difficult situations in life, God can create something beautiful and good. Now listen carefully. That doesn't mean that good or that evil suddenly becomes good. No. But God takes the effects of evil and he neutralizes them by creating something good in its place. So having children study from home becomes an opportunity to spend more time with them and get to know them better. The loss of a job might become a chance to start something new career-wise. A time of sickness could become an opportunity to learn to lean on God more than you've ever leaned on him before. A devastating loss becomes a time to let God comfort you and a time to trust him even though you don't understand why. I just finished reading a book last week by a Christian woman who grew up in a home where her parents were not believers. She became a Christian later in life, and she ended up marrying a man who became a pastor. Eventually, her mom came to live with her and her family. And even though she sometimes agreed to go to church with them, the mom never wanted anything to do with God for herself, even after she was diagnosed with cancer. It was only in her last week of life, as she was put in hospice, that mother and daughter had a conversation that changed things. You see, Mom had always thought of her daughter as weak because of her faith. She had always told her daughter, "You are weak because of your faith in Jesus." And in that setting of being with her mother as her mother was in hospice, her last week of life, the daughter finally realized and shared with her mom, "Yes, you're right, I am weak, but when I am weak, Jesus Christ is strong." And suddenly the mother realized that in her condition, she too, being near death, was weak. And something changed in her mind, and she realized that maybe she too might need Jesus Christ to be strong for her now that she was weak. And in being willing to see herself as weak and realizing that Christ was still there for her after decades and decades of rejecting Christ, she finally turned her life and gave it to Him. And she got to spend 1 week not only with a daughter, but with a sister in Christ before passing. Now, do you think that daughter was able to give thanks to God for her mom's cancer? Maybe not for the cancer itself, but for the fact that it led her mother to realization that she needed Christ, and her eternity was changed from that time onward. You bet there was thankfulness there in the midst of that situation. When we let the Spirit of God fill us, we are able to give thanks in everything. And this has a positive effect on our life. Thankfulness leads to uncommon peace in our lives. Uncommon peace. That's what Philippians chapter 4 says in verses 4 through 7. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." An uncommon joy. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything, it says. That's hard to do. I might be able to pull it off for a little while, maybe a few days. But when my focus shifts to all the different things going on around me, all the demands and the responsibilities, the possible problems ahead, man, worry can creep back into my life in no time. And that's why Paul writes that we should remember that the Lord is coming soon. When Christ returns, all the petty little troubles in our lives and of this world, they don't matter anymore in the grand scheme of things. When Christ returns, unless we've already died and entered eternity, when Christ returns is when our eternity begins. And when eternity with Christ begins, everything changes. In the meantime, though, Paul says, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for what He's done. Notice, Paul doesn't tell us to pray and tell Him what you need and then wait for God to answer, and when He answers your prayer, then thank Him for answering your prayer. He doesn't say that. We aren't thanking God for what He will do. I mean, when we pray to God, we hope that He will answer our prayers the way we're hoping He does. But we're thanking God for what He has done. The reason we experience God's uncommon peace isn't because He guarantees that we're always going to get what we pray for. No. We receive uncommon peace when we recognize that no matter what God does in response to our prayers, He's already done so much for us, that He's proven Himself to be a good and loving and faithful God. So whether God answers our prayers how we want him to or in a different way, it does not change God's goodness and love for us. And our peace comes from who he is, not from what he's done, not from what he does for us or what we want him to do for us. So as a result, God's peace guards our hearts and our minds. We don't have to worry, to wonder, to stress out about the things that we need, because God is who he is and he will take care of us. Now the devil can throw all kinds of lies and accusations at us, try to get us to worry and doubt. But as long as we keep our eyes on God and on the many things that he's already done for us, I mean, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He freed us from slavery to sin. He transforms our hearts and our minds so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ over time. He has promised us eternal life and adoption as his children. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our heavenly inheritance and so much more. And as we think about all the things that God's already done for us, Satan's attacks will have no power because we're focused on who God is and what he's already done. So as you go into Thanksgiving this week, I encourage you to spend some time thinking about the things that God has done for you in your life. Think about who God is, based on what he tells you about himself in the Bible. And think about who you are in relationship to him. For he made you, and you are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Choose to spend time in God's word this week. Remind yourself of the truths that we can use to counteract the devil's attacks on us. Spend some time thanking God for the many ways that he's blessed you and shown you his love. Let's pray. So, Father God, as we come to you this day, we are so thankful. So thankful for your goodness. So thankful for your love. We thank you that you are a God who created the heavens and the earth, the entire universe. And yet you are a God who cares about each one of us individually. You know our names. You knew every day in our lives before it has come to pass. You've called us your own. You've paid the price through the sacrifice of your son for us to spend eternity with you. Thank you, God. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all these challenges and troubles that we are in, even as things in our world continue to be chaotic and uncertain, Lord, that does not change who you are. You are a good and loving and faithful God. You are a God who has a plan and a purpose for us. And nothing and no one can thwart you. You are a God who has called us to be your children and who has given us an eternity to look forward to. So God, help us to take our focus off of the things that cause us to worry and fear, and help us to look on you, to be in awe of you, to fall more in love with you, to rejoice, to give thanks, to be so excited about the things that you've already done for us that we want to tell others around us about the amazing God that we have. And God, we pray that you would use us for your glory and your kingdom's sake. Help us to be thankful not only this week, but all year long. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, as you spend time being encouraged and thanking God, try to be an encouragement to those around you. try to shine a little light into the lives of others. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being with us. Have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. We'll see you again next week. God bless.